Good morning, everyone. I'm R.W. Estella with a word in Edgewise. Today is the 23rd of February, the 54th day of 2026, leaving us 311 days for our journey to 2027. Over this past weekend, as the closing ceremonies for the 25th Winter Olympic Games occurred in Milano and Cortina, Italy, I kept thinking about the only Olympics I had ever attended, back in 1968, as a fledgling reporter from an American high school in Germany, from where I had taken a train to Lyon, France, and then made my way to Grenoble for the 10th Winter Olympic Games. 58 years allow for considerable comparison and contrast, starting with my single backpack versus Tara Lipinski's 11 suitcases. Two major figures loom large in my memory of the games at Grenoble. The first is Peggy Fleming, who at 19 years old had recently been training quite a bit at the Broadmoor in Colorado Springs, so when an attendant learned that I had been raised in Colorado and communicated that to Peggy resting in a locker room at the ice rink, she told the attendant to bring me in, and Peggy and I were able to have an informal interview, just two teenagers on the other side of the pond having a conversation about being Americans in France. She had been practicing for the figure skating event that would win her a gold medal, the only gold medal that the United States won in that Olympics, a fact that neither of us had imagined in advance. The second is Jean-Claude Killy, who had just completed a training run at Chamrousse outside Grenoble and was pausing for a moment at the bottom of the ski lift when I managed to prevail upon him with some of my really rough third year of high school French. Jean-Claude, had 25 years old, had yet to win all three Alpine gold medals in the downhill, giant slalom, and slalom for the Grenoble Olympics. Those would be 75% of the medals France would win at the Olympics. Both Peggy and Jean-Claude carried themselves with considerable grace. At least that's the impression they had on me. Everyone is welcome to see for themselves how the two of them performed together 3 years later in the 1971 television movie Peggy Fleming at Sun Valley. Meanwhile, my girlfriend and I are allergic to television commercials, so we have recorded the major American network's coverage of the past 2 weeks' Milano-Cortina Olympic events on our satellite DVR and have every night been moseying through various events at a leisurely pace, which will outrun the live coverage by quite a while. So we're not taxing ourselves too much with all the numbers being slung around by timers, scoreboards, judges, and such. Though American Carl Sandburg has some pertinent things to say about all of this in his poem Number Man. For the ghost of Johann Sebastian Bach. He was born to wonder about numbers. He balanced fives against tens and made them sleep together and love each other. He took sixes and sevens and set them wrangling and fighting over raw bones. He woke up twos and fours out of baby sleep and touched them back to sleep. He managed eights and nines, gave them prophet beards, marched them into mists and mountains. He added all the numbers he knew, multiplied them by newfound numbers, and called it a prayer of numbers. For each of a million cipher silences, he dug up a mate number for a candlelight in the dark. He knew love numbers, luck numbers, how the sea and the stars are made and held by numbers. He died from the wonder of numbering. He said goodbye as if goodbye is a number. For every day we celebrate the beginning of new lives and find some comfort in our hope for the future, among the abundantly famous birthdays today are those of Samuel Pepys, George Friedrich Handel, Emma Willard, John Sutter, W.E.B. Du Bois, Victor Fleming, Peter Fonda, Johnny Winter, Rusty Young, Kelly MacDonald, Emily Blunt, and Dakota Fanning. And of noteworthy historical significance, today in 1455, Johannes Gutenberg printed his first Bible. Today in 1782, engineer James Watt's patent for a rotary motion, the sun and planet gear steam engine, was granted. Today in 1813, the first U.S. raw cotton to finish cloth mill was founded in Waltham, Massachusetts. Today in 1954, the first mass inoculation with the Salk vaccine against polio Polio took place in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and today in 1967, the New York Review of Books published Noam Chomsky's anti-Vietnam War essay, The Responsibility of Intellectuals. Heavenward, tonight around midnight in the western sky, our waxing crescent moon will appear to hang near the bright orange star Aldebaran of the constellation Taurus the Bull and its Pleiades star cluster, also known as the Seven Sisters, and in Japanese as Subaru. From Orono, Maine, I'm R.W. Wasella with a word in edgewise, welcoming this 10th full week of winter, the 8th full week of 2026, and the last week of February. Keep the faith.